You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Up next, Flashpoints presents its weekly special podcast, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, Elections Crime Bulletin, with award-winning investigative reporter and best-selling author Greg Palast. Stay tuned.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that next time.
You know, I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
You do not. Congress does not regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress.
Welcome to our special weekly podcast, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, Elections Crime Bulletin, with award-winning investigative reporter and best-selling author Greg Palast. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Each week, Greg and I will bring you crucial information you will need to know to protect your vote and your democracy. This week, we're going to do a postmortem on yesterday's California primary. Greg, I know you were out there. You were also trying to vote. Pick it up from there.
Well, I think that we need to get a long piece of yellow tape that says crime scene and wrap it around the state of California, Dennis. It was ugly. It was bad. If those who are wondering, how did that happen where the polls going into there were no exit polls, by the way. Interesting. The polls days before the election were showing that it was a dead heat between Senator Sanders and Secretary Clinton, with Sanders rising. How could it be what the AP calls a crushing victory with so-called 96% of the vote counted? The answer, Dennis, is that 96% of the vote has not been counted. Specifically, the first mail-in ballots, which tend to be the Democratic Party regulars, were counted. They're all Hillary folk. She's leading among registered Democrats by about 30 percentage points. But those who got NPP, that means that they're independent, no party preference ballots. That's just about second biggest party in California, no party. And if you got an NPP ballot, you had to mail it back in. 15% of the people who had those mailed them back in, which is quite a process, get them back and then mail them again. Get the new ballot with the Democratic Party candidates on them. Those ballots, some of whom we're talking maybe 100,000 were mailed yesterday, a couple hundred thousand this week. Those have not been received, nor let alone counted. They haven't been received by the registrar, so they can't have been counted. And those are overwhelmingly, according to the Golden State poll, 40 percentage point lead among those voters for Sanders. Again, those votes have not been received by the boards of election, let alone counted. Massive Sanders vote still to come. And then the big one, the really big one, we're talking provisional ballots from what I've seen and at my polling station. So, and I think it's quite typical. 15% of the entire vote to the state went into provisional ballots. We've discussed those babies before. They're placebo ballots that make you think you voted. And whether you get a real ballot or a placebo provisional ballot, Dennis, in California, they give you these little stickers that say, I voted, that you can wear. But the problem is, if the 15% of the people who got provisional ballots, and so we're talking about up to a quarter million voters, those people may have the I voted sticker, but it should say, I don't know if I voted because I don't know if my vote counted. And it probably won't be counted. Those, again, are overwhelmingly Sanders voters, because at my poll and every other poll I've gotten reporting from, the provisional ballots are given out like candy to the NPP voters, the independent voters who asked for ballots where they could vote for Senator Sanders. And they, for the most part, were either shoved to the provisionals automatically, or if there was some minor problem, they'd get them. For example, the woman in front of me, Dennis, was crying, a Sanders voter. She'd brought in her NPP ballot to exchange for a Democratic Party ballot, which is her absolute right, but she didn't bring the envelope. And in my station, and in most of the state, if you didn't bring in the envelope with the ballot, what are you going to do with the envelope? You can't vote a second time with an envelope. But if you didn't bring in the envelope with your ballot for an exchange, you didn't get a regular ballot. You got a provisional ballot. And if you didn't bring in any ballot and said, I'm an NPP voter, look up on the list, you'll see my name, I have the right to a Democratic Party ballot, if you didn't bring in your other ballot, The old ballot, forget it. It's either provisional or nothing, and you were sent away. So lovely, lovely. The vote is not over in California. I'm happy to do an autopsy, a postmortem on that election, except that the victim ain't died yet. So before we can conduct an autopsy on the Sanders campaign in California, I think we ought to wait decently until he's actually dead, because he may have won.
How long must this go? Has this been going on? Should this be going on? When can people really expect to get some kind of feedback on this? Who are they going to pursue? Is this just lost into the abyss?
Well, two things. Those 100,000 or 200,000 votes that were mailed in the past couple days, yesterday and the day before, the state of California will count those. There's almost, you know, overwhelmingly Bernie voters. If Bernie doesn't throw in the towel and say, you know, forget it, don't worry about counting those, there'll be pressure on him to say, come on, man, you know, don't, you know, give it up, you know. And in other states, he has waved away additional counting and recounts. The other is so those votes should be counted unless Sanders does that kind of gentlemanly thing he's been doing and just wave it off. I hope he doesn't, because I want to see that vote. It's very, very important as far as I'm concerned, because this is the democracy. It's not about his campaign. It's about democracy, not about the Democratic Party. The second thing are the provisional ballots. And a poll worker told the woman in front of me, don't worry, fill out a provisional ballot. We'll count it. And I said, no, they won't count it. Because if you didn't follow the procedure, they can, if anyone wants to challenge you, your vote's knocked out. If, you know, there were all these new registrants who lost their vote. And my co-host at KPFK here in Los Angeles, Carrie Harrison, has been voting for many, many years, was twice turned down from voting. Then they sent him on a scavenger hunt to other precincts. And when he got to the third attempt to vote at a third precinct, and they refused to let him vote as in the Democratic primary, which is his right as an independent voter, he called the cops. He called the cops, and the cops came in, and suddenly the poll workers followed the law. How about that?
He had to call the police to vote.
He had to call the police to vote. I had him check. He said it was West Hollywood, but it sounded to me like Selma, Alabama. You have to call the cops in to vote.
Well, somebody crossed some line. That voice you're hearing is Greg Palast. This is your weekly election crime bulletin. It's the best democracy money can buy with Greg Palast. And we're talking about, well, a lot of problems that unfolded in yesterday's election. And I know, because I have been keeping track of this too, Greg, and a lot of young people, a lot of first-time voters were misled or devastated when they had the information, but they still couldn't get the proper ballot.
They couldn't get the proper ballot. Also, a lot of people registered and didn't find their name on the voter rolls. Yes. Then they got provisional ballots. You have to understand, if your name's not on the voter roll, they'll give you a provisional ballot, but that doesn't mean they'll count the vote. They won't. If your name is not on the roll, it doesn't matter if you registered, but they never got around to putting you on. Remember, you got to count on those clerks. I'm telling – so I want to kind of – obviously, we got the California listeners who really need to know that this was not anything close to what we would call an election. I mean, you know, look, Greg Palast is the guy. You know, I'm the guy that uncovered the voting shenanigans in Florida in 2000 and then Ohio 2004 and et cetera, et cetera. In terms of sheer numbers, yesterday was the most biased election I have seen in the United States.
Really?
And just because of the sheer number of people who were shafted out of their votes, probably in the area of 400,000 or 500,000 in a single state, because most states don't even have that many voters, let alone be able to shaft them out. So just in terms of just monstrous size of the disappearing vote, it was the biggest I've seen. But that's, you know, has to do with California's size. But it's shameful because it's a one-party state. It's the Democratic Party. There is no real other party. And so this was just the Democratic establishment, you know, beating the crap out of the new young voters. Sanders was leading among Hispanics in the polls, you know, another vulnerable group. You know, it's just, you know, you see the same game. But the thing is, California, I would hardly call it a microcosm of the United States, because it's a chunk of the United States, What we saw yesterday, it's fascinating because for the first time in a long time, we had upper middle class white voters, the Sanders supporters, who were being treated as if they'd turned black. And this is obstacle course voting where you have to bring in the envelope and you have to change this and you have to call that and your registration's missing and you're sent to another precinct and you're given a provisional ballot. I used to call them black ballots, the provisional ballots, back of the bus ballots, because they were almost always given to voters of color. And suddenly you have hundreds of thousands of white folk getting a ballot that they've never seen called a provisional ballot. That's new. The problem for Hillary here, frankly, is that all these tricks that were used yesterday, and I'm not accusing her of designing that. I don't know what her role was. I have none. I don't want to accuse anyone. But I, you know, she should be standing up and saying that is not the democracy that that we want to defend, because the Democratic Party is generally the victim, because most of the victims of these voter games, including the handing out provisional ballots, are directed at black folk. And in November, Hillary will miss those votes that get flushed out of the system.
Greg, let me ask you a question about chain of custody. Who, those provisional ballots, who will count them? How will they be secured? Who will protect them?
That's a very good question, because my poll worker says, oh, I decide which of these. I'm going to count these votes myself. I'll make that decision. It's like, what? Huh? No, because the problem with provisional ballots is that they're very easy to challenge. They're supposed to be opened up with representatives of all parties available to review and make the decision whether a ballot should be counted or not. Oh, this person came in, but they didn't include their envelope. Now, I don't know how they're going to rule on that. If the rule is that you have to bring in your envelope and you didn't, they'll probably throw away the ballot. If it's someone says, oh, that person was not on the voter roll, they can say, well, they're not on the voter roll. Even if their name was removed wrongly, they're not on the voter roll. Their vote goes down the toilet. Then there'll be a fight over questions where people voted in the wrong precinct, you know, because they've always voted at that same high school for 40 years. And suddenly their precinct, like as happened with Kerry Harrison, my coworker, their precinct got changed. You count an out-of-precinct vote. In Ohio, this was a big battle, huge battle, and out-of-precinct votes were not being counted. And even though it's a citizen voter. So I don't know how California is going to handle this. There's no rules being set down. There's no system being set down. It is an unholy mess. And I want to talk to the Secretary of State, Mr. Padilla, about this and find out what he's doing with these hundreds of thousands of votes. And I also want to ask my so-called fellow reporters at the AP how you could call an election and say 96% of the votes have been counted when 96% of the votes have not even been received by the voting officials.
Wow. All right. Greg Palast, before we let you go, I mean, this is just the beginning of a new part of the election season, the run towards the presidency. We can expect all kinds of dirty tricks, all kinds of hurdles for our democracy to get over. Obviously, it is an endangered species at this point. That's what we're seeing in California. So what, you know, in terms of what's coming up and what are you thinking about, how does this set the tone for what comes next?
Well, one of the things I'm really concerned with is in the last presidential race, 2.1 million people were shunted to these placebo provisional ballots. We saw a massive number yesterday. I think it's going to be a couple hundred thousand in just California. This is dangerous stuff, and we have to. You just asked about procedure and custody, et cetera, of these provisional ballots. Wow, Dennis, that's what I'm hoping people will be asking now, not the day after the election, as we're doing in California. What is going to be the procedure for handling these ballots in states like Ohio, swing states, where you have hostile, nasty, and frankly racist secretaries of state like John Husted of Ohio and Chris Kobach in Kansas. These are people whose names you don't know, but they're the people that are going to be counting the votes. They are ultra right wing. They have a history of hostility to voters of color and setting up obstacles. It's not very good looking as we go forward into November. And don't count on the Democratic Party, which you just saw yesterday, gets its hands dirty in the same voter suppression tactics that the Republicans use. It's a very bad thing when the Democratic Party pulls off these stunts because they lose any moral right to complain about them when they're used against them. So don't count on the political parties. Don't count on the Democrats to save voters of color. It ain't going to happen. They've never done it.
You know, speaking about Democrats, Barbara Boxer was on local public radio here in the Bay Area, and she was, you know, she was asked about, well, you know, has what about this big money thing? Do you think Hillary Clinton is going to take it seriously? And her response, in terms of being influenced by corporate money, and her response was astounding. It was as if the Sanders campaign never happened. What she said was, Greg, well, I would love to get big money out of campaigns. Does this sound familiar? But as long as the other guy does it, we're going to have to do it. How can we? Otherwise, we're going to lose. Well, I guess Bernie disproved that, didn't he?
Well, the problem is, okay, what does Hillary have going for her but the money? What's she selling? And fear of Trump, which is a legitimate issue for a lot of people. I'm not taking any sides in this race, but I will tell you that the money poisoning, and if you've read my book, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, stealing votes is an expensive business. Vote suppression doesn't come cheap. It's a big process. It's not just the mechanical process. It's selling and cover. It's buying up the media to make sure they don't report it. It is poisoning the media with placed and nonsensical stories. As we had, by the way, in Los Angeles, NBC ran a phony story about illegal aliens voting here. And I'm thinking, well, why didn't you arrest them? It's against the law. Make a citizen's arrest and get a Pulitzer Prize or something. No. It's phony. So they create these expensive, phony propaganda trickery, and they need money to pull that off. And Hillary needs it, and Trump will need it. And he's, interestingly, even, you know, one of the most interesting things is that one of Trump's, the guy who's holding is held the only Trump fundraiser, as if Trump needs money, right? The only fundraiser for Trump has been held by the guy in New Hampshire who sold his plastics firm to Tyco. And what made that interesting is that the guy shut down his New Hampshire factory and reopened it in Tijuana, Mexico. Exactly the type of thing that Trump says would not put up with, but you know that he would slap down these capitalists who are moving jobs from America to Mexico. And yet the one fundraiser Trump has had was sponsored by the guy who closed his plant and moved it to Tijuana.
Oh, don't forget. We're out of time, Greg. I have to interrupt. But don't forget, it's not just – he also had the fundraiser for the veterans. But that's another story as well. You have been listening to our weekly podcast, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, Elections Crime Bulletin, with award-winning investigative reporter Greg Pallast. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Greg, if people want more information, if they want to follow the podcast, they can obviously go to gregpallast.com. They can find out all about the work you're doing now. They can see our work at flashpoints.net. And again, we thank you. We'll see you next week.
You're welcome.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second.
You know, I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
You do not. Congress does not regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress.